Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Flora Brown welcoming you to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, October 4th, 2010. I'm your host, normally coming to you live from Anaheim, California, but today our show has been pre-recorded so that you won't miss any of the inspiration and encouragement that I have to share while I'm away on vacation. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Harnessing the Right Brain, Using Creativity, Intuition and Body Wisdom to Create Authentic Happiness with my guest, attorney Monique Halm. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us, and I want to thank those of you who listen to the show after it's recorded as well. Now today, because the show is pre-recorded, you won't be able to ask questions on the line or in the chat room as usual, but you may always leave comments on my show page. As a matter of fact, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it. You can do that over on Twitter, Facebook, and of course on my show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. You may add yourself as a friend of my show. That would be great. Again, I am Flora Brown, an author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you will learn about the programs I have available to help you choose happiness for your own life. While you're there, be sure to sign up for my free weekly newsletter, because you will be getting that in your email every week, and it will give you just the inspiration you need to keep going throughout the week. Before we move on, I want to tell you about the business tool that I used to help me discover my ideal client. The Ideal Client Action Guide helps me realize that trying to be everything to everybody is like using a BB gun to hit a bullseye. By working through the activities with the guidance of the audio recording, I was able to take the guesswork out of my marketing and focus on my ideal client, and so can you at www.idealclientactionguide.com. Now on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, and career, all of those things that contribute to your lasting happiness.
Hello there and welcome, Monique Halm. It's such a pleasure to have you as my guest today. How are you?
To be here. I'm doing great. Thank you.
I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you before we begin. Is that okay?
That's great.
Monique Halm is the founder of Equilibrium Career and Life Coaching. I love that name when I saw Equilibrium. Is that correct?
Equilibrium, that's right.
Did I say that right?
That's right.
Okay. Equilibrium, I think that's so clever. As an author, coach, law of attraction student, Reiki master, and former lawyer, Monique inspires and supports lawyers and other professionals in crafting careers and lives of true balance, recovering their dreams, and pursuing their passions. So I'm so delighted that you made time to join us today to discuss harnessing the right brain using creativity, intuition, and body wisdom to create authentic happiness. Welcome, Monique.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much, Flora.
You are most welcome. Well, I want to jump right in and start with this right brain and left brain. We hear a lot about that. Could you explain what do you mean by right brain and left brain? What do those mean?
Well, what is commonly referred to as the left and right brains are actually the two different hemispheres of our human brain.
Uh-huh.
So Each of these sides of our brain presents us with very different ways of perceiving reality and relating to one another. So the left brain, or the left hemisphere, is the part of our brain that is logical, rational, analytical, numeric, and verbal. It identifies cause and effect relationships and is detail-oriented. It's also very literal, ordered, and it loves to label things. It perceives things as either or and black or white. So it's kind of like your inner accountant, lawyer, timekeeper, and taskmaster.
Okay.
And the right brain, or the right hemisphere, is a part of our brain that's more creative, intuitive, nonverbal, and emotional. It thinks in metaphors, it's more free-flowing, whereas the left brain looks at the detail, the right brain looks at the big picture. It's also the seat of our emotions and our social selves, and it has a greater role in coping with stress. It's the part of our brain that sees the new and interesting possibilities. So it's our inner artist, our inner poet, socialite, and visionary. Neither one is better than the other. They're both really important. But for a lot of people, one side tends to really dominate. And generally in our society, the left brain is perceived as better and more dominant. But both sides are really important.
I was thinking, as you were saying that in our society, we probably are programmed and schooled in left brain activities more than we are right brain. Is that true?
Much more. So in school, when the big focus is on reading, writing, arithmetic, that's all really left brain and memorizing. All of those are left brain activities. And in our schools in particular, the right brain is getting increasingly cut out with the budget shortfalls. They're tending to cut all of the arts. And things that hone our right brain and cause us to be more creative and use that part of ourselves. But it is still possible to learn those things later, and that's what I'm trying to help people to do.
Well, that makes me wonder what happened to you that made you discover the importance of balancing the right brain.
Well, when you go to law school, they teach you to think like a lawyer. Well, it's really, really honing the left brain. If you look at the job description for a lawyer and you look at what the left brain does, they pretty much match up almost one-to-one. And, you know, when I was, like, going through schooling where my left brain was honed in law school and then being a very overworked attorney, I ended up getting really sick, and I was really, really out of balance, and I had a ruptured appendicitis. I ended up being in the hospital for 9 days and in a lot of pain, but I woke up from my surgery in the hospital, and I felt relief that I didn't have to go to work. I was so stressed out and so miserable that being in the hospital was better than being at work. Which kind of told me something. And at the same time, somebody gave me, when I was recovering, a friend of mine gave me a book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And it is about, and basically in that book, you learn to harness your creativity and you're working your right brain. And I started painting and meditating and sculpting, and my life was transformed.
Wow.
And during a recent meditation, it came to me that honing this part of me really helped me to balance my entire life, and that it was really important for me to help others to do that too, especially in the society that's so left-brain focused.
Right, it is. So in your situation then, really, had you not had this illness and this hospital stay to give you some time to reflect and to make that comparison between work and the stress-free environment of the hospital, or it became stress-free, perhaps it would have taken you a while longer to figure this out.
I think that's true. And it's interesting because the right brain is the part of you that has body wisdom. And your body talks to you and tells you messages. Actually, my stomach tells me when I'm stressed. It doesn't happen in my head, but it happens in my stomach. Uh-huh. And it had started when I was in law school, and I remember getting these horrible stomach aches, and I went to the medical clinic, and the doctor told me, he worked me over, and he's, after considering it, he said, you know what, I think you're suffering from law school. he said, you're getting these stomach aches from stress. So he said, try to do yoga and see if that will, see if that helps. After, if it doesn't help, I can give you some medicine, but I think you should really just focus on stress and stress reduction. So I did that, and that definitely helped in law school, but when I was working as a lawyer, I was too busy to do those things. So I was ignoring all those stomach aches, and eventually it became an appendicitis that forced me to force me down where I had no choice but to pay attention.
Right, right.
And our body talks to us all the time, and that is, the right brain is a part of us that can hear those messages. So it's important also to be able to hone that so that you can hear them before it gets to the point where you're in the hospital.
I do think our bodies, when you say they talk to us, I think our bodies do exactly what your body did, and that is, if you don't get the message when it's a small whisper, it will get louder and louder until it becomes something bigger that you can't ignore.
Absolutely.
Right, right. So this is partly related to what I was going to ask you next, and that is, why do we need to hone these skills? And you've touched on it already. Would you go into that a little bit more?
Absolutely. Because our culture is so focused on the left brain, our left brain is constantly being honed. But we need the right brain. We need to be able to hear those messages. And also, our right brain is the part of us that is creative. And regardless of what you do, creativity is necessary for everybody. Also, our intuition. There's so much that happens that we're not seeing on a conscious level, but our subconscious and our right brain is receiving all of these messages. It captures so much information. It's better than the fastest computer, and it sends us that information back, and it comes intuitively. It comes through our body, and unless we're trained to listen to those messages, and unless we learn how to use our creativity, we will ignore it to our peril. It is the kind of thing that can land you in the hospital, but also it's just to live a happier life. You want to be able to hear all of those messages, hear what's authentically important for you, to be able to see the big picture, to be able to come up with alternatives to really be able to grow.
I'm glad you mentioned that creativity is important for all of us regardless of our careers. I think many people think when they hear creativity, they think art or music, and they think, oh, I'm not creative. I'm not very creative. I've heard people say that. But talk about why creativity is important and what can constitute creativity other than the typical things we think of as creativity.
Right. Well, creativity is so much more than just creating a painting or a work of art. Creativity, scientists need to be creative to figure out what's happening. You need to be creative as a parent to deal with a toddler and a tantrum, or it requires creativity to deal with a difficult client. Creativity on stretching a tight budget. Creativity can show up in so many different ways. And as lawyers, we need to be creative. We have to be able to take the facts that we're given and in the law as it stands and figure out how to make a case. You have to come up with creative viewpoints when you're trying to negotiate something. You can't just stay in the same, just be really obstinate. You have to be able to be creative in order to work things out. And so there are so many different ways in which creativity is used in our lives, and it's a lot more than just visual art.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is that creativity is actually about finding unique solutions to problems and being flexible and not just about, so when you mentioned parenting and scientists and so forth, we have to be able to explore alternative ways of behaving or looking for cures. You are dealing with facts, but you also are being creative because you have to really step outside of the tried and the true and the expected, looking for something different.
Absolutely.
Right? So in that case, when you define creativity as flexibility and openness and solving problems, then that certainly includes every career possible that you could think of.
Yeah, it does. There's nobody who does not need something.
That's right. I wish some of the people we dealt with could be more creative. How can people be more creative, to get to that question? I mean, what are some things people can do to facilitate becoming more creative?
Well, it helps to understand what the creative process is.
Okay.
Basically, a four-step creative process. So the first thing is you have to know about your subject and know about the issue or the topic in which you want to be more creative.
Uh-huh.
And one of the, there was a, you know, the studies that I've done on creativity, the one common denominator with all sorts of creative people, and people can be creative in all different types of subjects as we've talked about, but typically you're going to only be creative in the subject you know about. So your science, you can have a very creative scientist. Albert Einstein is very creative. And what he came up with was completely revolutionary, but he's not likely to be a creative, to also paint creatively or write a symphony. And a musician is not likely to come up with a new scientific process. So people are creative in what they know. So the first step is actually to find out more and also to be curious. So the the one aspect of all really creative people is that they tend to keep that natural curiosity. When people are kids, they're really curious about everything. And they're always asking, why does that work? How does that work? And they're always looking at things. And that tends to get beaten out of people through at school. They stop asking so many questions. They are medicating people who ask all the different
questions. That's too bad, isn't it? It is too bad,
but being able to ask questions is actually one of the main things that make you creative. So you have to be able to ask different questions in order to start seeing something, as opposed to just taking, you know, looking at it and then go, oh, yeah, I know everything about that. I don't really have to observe it anymore. But the creative people are always, they always have this kind of childlike wonder and awe and curiosity. Like, how does that work? Why does that work? What would happen if I did this? What would happen if I did that? How could, you know, if I were to put it upside down or paint it red? You know, how would that make it, how would that change things? And that is the first part of becoming more creative. A is asking a lot of questions, but knowing and finding out all that you can about your subject.
Okay.
And then after that is taking breaks. You actually, your right brain needs time to take all that information and kind of compute it. So you have to step away from a problem, actually, in order to get creative. And that's a big part of the process, is to stop. So a lot of people get creative ideas in the shower, or when they're driving, or when they're meditating, or when they're dreaming, when they're sleeping. A lot of people, you know, wake up and they're like, that was the reason I needed. And that part of it, the break away, is a really important part of that process. So when you're trying to be more creative, give yourself more breaks. Don't work nonstop. Go for a walk. If there's a problem that you're wrestling with, you want a creative solution, go for a drive, go for a walk, meditate, take a nap, do something else.
I absolutely find that to be true. As a matter of fact, sometimes as it goes into the night and I'm trying to work on certain kinds of problems, like the computer or trying to figure out what's wrong with the code on my website, there's no way that I'm going to get it done as it gets late into the night. because the brain just, my brain doesn't want to do that kind of work at night. And if I keep trying, it's just going to get frustrating because it's not happening. And then the next day in the morning, I go, oh, that was so simple. Why couldn't I figure that out last night? I needed a break.
You needed a break. Break
from yep.
An overthinking, overtired brain is not going to be a creative brain.
Nope.
It's the exact opposite.
Nope.
So the best thing you can do when you're struggling with something is just stop struggling and
just stop.
Get away from it. Yeah, just
that's
stop.
Right.
So that's a big part of the creative process. And the next part will be that you will receive that, aha, you'll receive that intuitive breakthrough, that eureka moment that shows up for people. There, many of us have, you know, you've been struggling with that, you don't know exactly what's going to happen, and you leave it, and it might be a few minutes, or it might be a few days, or even a few weeks, and then all of a sudden, boom, I was like, oh yeah, that's how I can do that.
Right, okay.
So that, you know, that's the process. And then the final step would be you actually have to follow through. So if you can get that message, but if you don't do anything with it, then you haven't created anything. You've just had another thought of your thousands and thousands of thoughts that you don't have every day.
Wow. Let me review the four steps to being more creative then, because I was taking notes as you were going. So the first step is to know your subject, and in order to do that, be curious, ask questions, have a childlike wonder and awe about things. And then the second thing is to take breaks, and I put from left brain activity because many times what we most need to break from is the left brain activity.
Mm-hmm.
And then third is that we will receive and, you know, be ready to receive that breakthrough after a break, after you've taken some kind of break.
Yes. I like that you said breakthrough because exactly. You take a break and then it breaks through.
And then the fourth thing is the follow through, and that is to take action. You have to actually act on what you've come up with, or else you are going to probably be frustrated. There are some people who are very creative and can go all the way through step three, but when it comes to four, they fall through instead of follow through. And this is where having a team of people working together, a partner, can be helpful, because sometimes people just are great at those first three steps and they need somebody else to help with step four to get it
absolutely.
Done.
Yeah,
get it done. So now, how will this make a difference in our lives? Obviously we're able to see the bigger picture, but in terms of the balance that it gives us, and you mentioned earlier happiness, and of course my book is Color Your Life Happy, so I'm very interested in that. So how will this being creative make a difference and make us happier in our lives?
Well, you know, so many people are okay with the status, or they just leave the status quo in a way that does not make them very happy. But if you can ask different questions, if you can find some new solutions, if you can do things a little differently, then that is, and you can actually hear an authentic solution that would come to that aha, which is it's a solution. I mean, I say the right brain, but in a lot of ways it comes from a divine place.
Uh-huh.
And because the right brain really has, you know, I think that it has a link to that, to this divine, this higher wisdom.
Uh-huh.
And when you can touch into that, tune into that, then it'll change your life in so many different ways. I recently heard about this study. And it was a study where they were looking at the impact of change on people's lives. And so they had people, you know, if they were introvert, they had them pretend to, like, act like an extrovert for a day. If they were different polar opposites, they had them play with being a polar opposite in their life. And they also had them do one, so once a week something totally different, like drive
mm-hmm.
a different way to work or
mm-hmm.
Or eat in a different restaurant. Just do something different,
mm-hmm.
Something that was out of their norm. And then after 4 months, they realized that all these participants lost an average of 11 pounds.
Whoa.
And they ended up, you know, for the most part, they kept it off. And it was just from doing these different things. And it was a study on just the impact of change. But what happens is when you start changing and you start putting yourself out of the norm, out of the status quo, then you start to align in your life.
Uh-huh.
And it starts when you're listening to this this different voice, and by doing different things and being more creative, it does tune you into that more authentic voice inside of you. When you start to be able to hear that and you act, you follow through on those things, then everything starts to come together in really amazing but very unforeseen ways. Like, you lose weight, you get healthier.
I like that plan.
Yeah.
That's a lot better than exercise. Take a different route home.
Yeah, do something different once a week. And it's funny, this has happened to me where I'm doing this workshop called the Life Alchemy Workshop. And just this week, one of my my students had emailed me and said, you know, this is the 4 weeks since we've been doing this program, and I've been trying to lose this stubborn 10 pounds for years, and she called it moving to the next decade, having her, the line go under into the next set of 10 numbers, because just could not get there. And doing this workshop, we're doing different things. It's partly a feng shui workshop, so she's So I was just decluttering and moving things around and having more fun and working on mission statements and things. And I just stepped on the scale today, and I'm in that next decade. I've dropped
my pounds. Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful.
And without even trying. And I've been struggling to do this for years. And that is the kind of thing that happens when you start honing your creativity, start doing things a little differently.
Right.
And... yeah.
I would guess that as I'm thinking about this, doing something different, the reason that it affects your weight or whatever is that you can't move and change one thing without it changing whatever it's next to. It's kind of like when you start cleaning a shelf. You move something and you're just going to clean this one little spot, and then you notice the spot next to it needs cleaning. Before you know, you've moved over and over and over. And I'm thinking, if you move something in your life, then it was touching something else. It was affecting. So that's why that change is going to affect other places that you don't even know about that are touching each other.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned intuition, and you also mentioned divine. So I want to get to intuition, because some people don't think intuition really exists. Some people don't even trust in the divine. They think that whatever happens to us, if it's good, you were just lucky, or it's a coincidence. Does intuition really even exist, and how does it tie into the divine?
Well, intuition absolutely exists, and that is, you know, when we were talking about body wisdom, that's kind of a part of the intuitive process. You'll get signals that show up in a different way for you. You know, the intuitive people, they had a recent study, and they had looked at all the top CEOs in the country, and they had asked which ones considered themselves intuitive, and the ones that considered themselves intuitive were they tended to have their businesses were 30% better than the non-intuitive CEOs. Even in law, which is very, very left brain, people pay a lot of money for jury consultants. Jury consultants are people who basically use their intuition to help lawyers find jurors they think will be better for their case. So the jury consultant that, you know, one of the famous ones was used for the O.J. Simpson trial, where he was acquitted. And, you know, they'll get paid upwards of, you know, six figures to use their intuition to help with picking juries, and they're incredibly successful. Basically, the intuition is your right brain getting all sorts of information from all around, and I also think also from the divine. But even if you don't believe that it's divine, it definitely is happening in the right brain, and then it sends messages to you that that you can hear. When I remember I had a blind date, and I walked in and I saw this man, and there was I just had this instant connection with him, and he's now my husband. And I think that a lot of people have these feelings where they'll come in and they'll just get a strange sense about something. They'll walk into a space and it feels weird, or you meet somebody and you just instantly like them, or I shouldn't go down that alley, or there's these senses that you'll get, and that's your intuition trying to speak to you.
And one of the things that I think people need to consider is acting on your intuition, because sometimes we get into trouble because we hear the voice, we hear the nudge, we get that feeling, as you say, don't go down that alley, and we don't listen to it. We dismiss it because this is a shortcut and I need to get down there fast. And every time when we don't listen to that intuition, it gets us into trouble, situations that perhaps we don't want to. And when you were speaking about meeting your husband as a blind date, the relationships, when we get a red flag, and I mean sometimes a red flag is waving bluntly in front of us about somebody, and for whatever reason, we dismiss it, we choose to ignore it, and listen to something else, which I'm not sure what that other thing is, but when we do that, we can usually point back to that situation later.
Gosh,
I knew it. Why did I listen? Intuition is so important, and I do think it's tied into divine. And I think, too, that we have to be quiet to hear it, but we also have to honor it and embrace it. And I think when we do that, we'll get more and stronger messages.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's basically how you develop your intuition. You realize that it's there. You recognize that voice that that will show up for you and will send you a message, and you trust it. You know that it's actually there. I know the only mistakes that the only things that I've ever done in my life that I've regretted have been when I've not paid attention to that intuitive voice. What happens is it's hard because you'll have different voices that'll show up in your head, right? There'll be the voice that says, don't trust that person, and then there'll be another voice that says, yeah, but so-and-so they received this award, or they,
Yes, right.
And it's hard. It can be hard to figure out what is the voice of intuition and what is the voice of fear, or what is a different voice that's showing up there. And I think almost like 99.9% of the time, the intuition is that first voice, and the voice that says, but.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the other voice. Listen to the first voice.
And not only that, in your example you just gave, the other voices we hear typically are other people's voices.
Absolutely.
And other outside evidence that's really just transitory, you know, like you said. But he's the CEO of the company, so he should know best. Or my friend Susie said that he's great. You know, those are the voices.
But he's been in the business for 30 years.
Those are the ones that are offering you evidence that has nothing to do with your feeling. You cannot discount your feeling no matter what.
Yeah.
I want to get to body wisdom, because that was part of what was in the title of the episode, and that's something that I don't think a lot of people are familiar with. So what do you mean by body wisdom?
Well, we talked about it a little bit in the beginning of our conversation. So body wisdom, you know, it showed up for me with my, my stomach was talking to me, and it was telling me in law school, you're from law school. I probably should have listened to it then. And then later, when I was this overworked attorney, it all, you know, my appendicitis was talking to me. My stomach was trying to send me messages and saying it was that it, I was way overstressed, that I needed to deal with it right away. Your body sends you all sorts of messages. Basically, whenever you feel any sort of dis-ease in your body, and whether that shows up as illness or pain, and some, that is your body's trying to tell you something. So you have to listen to it. But it also it can be more subtle. So you can use that that body wisdom to help you tune into your intuition. So if you have a question or a decision you're trying to make, you can feel it out in your body. So ask a question and just tune into what reaction happens in your body. And usually what will happen is if it's something that is a good thing for you to do, you'll feel a lightness in your body, maybe a warmth. And it'll be this more positive feeling, whereas if it's something that's not a good place for you to go, not a good direction, it will it'll feel like a heaviness, maybe a coldness, maybe a closing in. Different people will feel it differently, but it'll be very palpable if you can tune into that. And then, you know, those are using your body's wisdom for anything. But then when you have some sort of pain or illness, you can also tune into your body and get quiet with it and say, what is it that you're trying to tell me? And you'll get an answer. So I had some clients some clients in my Life Alchemy workshop, and one of the classes we were dealing with health, and there were a couple people that had chronic pain. One was chronic hip pain, one was chronic shoulder pain, and I had them tune into that and ask their bodies what that was about and listen to it. And within a week, both of them stopped experiencing pain. And it was a pain that they've been experiencing, in one case, for over a year and a half. Like, really, and they've done everything, you know, gone to all sorts of doctors, taken medicine, and different, like, trying everything. But really, when they just tuned into their body and said, what are you trying to tell me here? And they heard the message and they followed through on it. Then that pain went away. And so your body is so wise, and it really does talk to you, and it's a really amazing tool that you can use.
So the way that we can develop it is by tuning into it more, by asking questions of it when you have a problem or an issue?
Absolutely. Know that it's there. This is, like, similar to the intuition. You know that it's there. You just pick some time where you can be quiet and tune in, and you can just ask the question. You ask it in your mind, and you'll hear an answer. You'll hear, and it will, sometimes it'll show up as a thought in your head. Sometimes it'll show up as just this, like a physical sensation that I was describing, the warmth or it could be different people have different, it could show up as lights, or it could be, you know, more auditory or kinesthetic, but you'll receive some sort of response from your body, and it's very wise, and it's connected to that intuition, and it's connected to that higher wisdom that your right brain has access to.
Wow, this is so fabulous. I want to have you tell us how the listeners can get in touch with you, because you said you're having a workshop right now that's in progress, but how do they reach you to learn about future workshops and so forth?
Yep, we're going to be having another one of those workshops at the end of October, and I have other programs. So if the listeners would like to get in touch with me, please go to my website. It's www.equilibrium, which is EQUILABRIUM.com. And you can input your info, and I'll get back in touch with you.
Oh, okay. That's great. Let me repeat that. www.equilibrium.com. EQUILAWBRIUM.com. This has been wonderful having you with us today. I've learned a few more things that I didn't know about, especially regarding body wisdom, and I'm sure that the listeners, too, have been enlightened, encouraged, and hopefully empowered so they can go out and make some changes. Please share what you've learned with your family and colleagues as well, listeners, and remember that the recording of the episode will be here on my radio show page at www.blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, where you can return at any time to either hear the episode again, or you may just download it, you may subscribe to the podcast so that they will go into your iTunes account every time. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and invite you to join me again next Monday, October 11th, 2010, at 11 a.m. for another inspiring and exciting show. And let me remind you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, to learn about my book, speaking, my coaching, and other activities. Monique, do you have any closing words for us before we go off the line?
I just want to thank you so much for inviting me to share this. I'm so passionate about it, and I love sharing it. So thank you, and I invite all the listeners to really play with your creativity and with your body wisdom. Start and your intuition. Start paying attention to them and using them. They're the most amazing tools, and they're right there for you.
Right. And there's a whole world of more wonderful things waiting for you when you do that, too.
Absolutely.
So, thank you. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you usually live from Anaheim, California, every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.